I'm Dory Stein, and it is KALW San Francisco, and it is Gaza Corner time. And when you think back to the 1960s, it was an epic decade for a lot of things. But also, in the 60s, African-American sports figures boldly expressed social injustice. Muhammad Ali, the greatest example we know about Muhammad Ali. Tennis star Arthur Ashe, let's not forget about Arthur. John Carlos and Tommy Smith, the gold medalists who protested racism by giving the Black Power salute at the 1968 Olympics at the award ceremony. And then decades followed where Black athletes were largely, it seemed to me, non-political. A politically apathetic Michael Jordan, for example, comes to mind. Those in the National Basketball Association, the NBA, who did protest were eventually banished from the league. Examples include Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who silently looked away during the national anthem and then was blackballed from the league. If you do any YouTubes on Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he had moves like Steph Curry. He was amazing offensively. And also the long-range shooter Craig Hodges, who played along with Jordan with the Bulls. He just released a book called One Shot, The Triumphs and Struggles of an NBA Freedom Fighter. His outspoken ways also cut short his NBA career. As recently as 3 years ago in 2014, high-profile NBA players like Dwight Howard, Amari Stoudemire, Meta World Peace, all suffered severe backlash for displaying a social conscience. This occurred especially during Israel's 2014 devastating 51-day war on Gaza, which resulted in over 2,200 dead in Gaza, mostly civilians, 551 children killed out of the 2,200 dead. As my favorite sports and political journalist Dave Zirin wrote at the time in The Nation, quote, Amari Stoudemire, who is Jewish and even has funded an Israeli basketball camp, was pressured to delete an Instagram picture of an Israeli and Palestinian child arm in arm with the caption, Pray for Palestine. Yes, even this was too much, unquote, from Dave Zirin. Upon seeing pictures of the carnage in Gaza, Dwight Howard tweeted two words, Free Palestine, and deleted the tweet literally 15 minutes later and apologized profusely for doing the tweet to begin with. It was not clear if his agent got on the phone, someone from his team, management, or just the relentless withering of criticism, which just came immediately, but it cowered Howard. Howard's groveling post-tweet was not enough for Zionist Organization of America chief Morton Klein, who said Howard, quote, should be publicly condemned as strong as Donald Sterling was, unquote. Donald Sterling was an avowed racist who also happened to own an NBA basketball team, the LA Clippers. His racism got so out of hand, it was such an embarrassment to the league that they forced him to sell the team. Meanwhile, Israeli-born NBA player Omri Kaspi reacted to Howard's tweet. Again, this was during the Gaza War, by tweeting, quote, 600 missiles been fired from Gaza by Hamas in the last 4 days. Numbers don't lie. Stop lying, unquote. Again, to quote Dave Zirin, in a sane world, Kaspi would be roundly shamed, and not Twitter shamed, but really shamed for daring to say the words, numbers don't lie in relation to Israel-Palestine, and not starting with the number of dead children in Gaza. If anything, Dwight Howard performed a public service by demonstrating how Palestinian people are imprisoned not only by walls, barbed wire, and checkpoints, but also by Western hypocrisy, unquote. Dave Zirin. Black Lives Matter had barely emerged by 2014, but today, Black Lives Matter and Palestinian human rights activists and organizations are in strong solidarity. Again, my man Dave Zirin, quote, since 9-1-1, police chiefs and high-ranking officers from across the U.S., from Ferguson to New York City, have traveled to Israel for training in the arts of suppression, unquote. What I find disappointing is many African-American sports celebrities actively support Black Lives Matter but seem blind to the plight of Palestinians who live under Jim Crow-type oppression. Israel knows one way to gain popularity. They know many ways, but this is one major way to gain popularity with the general public in America. And that is for the celebrities of American popular culture to visit Israel and then have a favorable impression of Israel. NBA players have been given all expense-paid junkets to Israel. Israeli-born NBA player Omri Kaspi has a foundation, and that foundation produces these junkets, and he said that he imagines some kid, quote, from Alabama or Dallas or Los Angeles seeing his idols traveling the world, going to Israel, saying, hey, he's having fun there, unquote. David Schottenstein, a Jewish American entrepreneur, a venture capitalist as well, he's been the money man helping Osby with these tours, along with good old Sheldon Adelson. Thank God he's not going to own the Oakland Raiders. In producing Caspi's junkets, and Schottenstein said, quote, one of the goals is the way people interact, get the information these days, a lot of it comes from things like social media. You've got a guy like take LeBron James, with 20 million followers who are all looking at his posts, and he's posting great pictures from Israel, of him having a great time in this beautiful place. That helps further its image as the only real democracy in the Middle East, unquote. As far as I know, LeBron has not gone to Israel. He's using him as an example. In an open letter to the NBA players traveling to Israel back in 2015, Dave Zirin described Caspi's delegation of NBA players this way. He described them as part of a campaign to fight Israel's increasing isolation as a result of the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, BDS, aimed at fighting Israeli human rights violations in the Palestinian territories as outlined by the United Nations, unquote. The next wave of American sports celebrities targeted by Israel are NFL stars, National Football League stars. The Times of Israel, an Israeli paper, reported in a February 5th article that a group of top players from the NFL, including Niner running back Carlos Hyde, former Niner and current Titan Delanie Walker, Oakland Raiders Dan Williams, former Cal running back and current Denver Bronco Justin Forsett, among others, but not Seattle Seahawks Michael Bennett nor his brother, the Patriots Martellus Bennett, who were invited but turned it down. Martellus is also one of six members of the New England Patriots who are boycotting Trump by not attending the annual trip to the White House to honor the Super Bowl champions. The all-expense-paid visit for the NFL players was announced just this last Sunday. Announced by who? Announced by Israel's Tourism and Public Diplomacy Ministries. Strategic Affairs and Public Diplomacy Minister Gilad Erdan expressed hope that the visit would offer the players, quote, a balanced picture of Israel, the opposite from the false incitement campaign that is being waged against Israel around the world. Continuing the quote, the ministry which I lead is spearheading an intensive fight against the legitimization and BDS campaigns against Israel, and part of the struggle includes hosting influencers and public formers opinion formers, opinion formers of international standing in different fields, including sport. Tourism manager Yariv Levin said, quote, football stars are a source of inspiration for all American citizens. I am sure that after the experience that the players will enjoy in Israel and after they have seen the unique tourist sites and the special atmosphere here, they will become ambassadors of goodwill for Israel, unquote. The Times of Israel concludes its article with this line. It was not immediately clear who was funding the trip. That's the last line of the article. Yet a letter titled Open Letter to NFL Players Traveling to Israel on a Trip Organized by Netanyahu's Government clearly reveals who is paying for the trip. This open letter was signed by many people, renowned musicians, artists, social justice advocates, including Harry Belafonte, Angela Davis, Danny Glover, Alice Walker, former Olympic gold medalist John Carlos, and organizations including Jewish Voice for Peace and U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. The letter is linked at the Tangents homepage, and it will be on the playlist. The letter, I'll give you a couple of excerpts. It says, these trips bringing celebrities to Israel are part of a larger, quote, brand Israel, unquote, campaign to help the Israeli government normalize and whitewash its ongoing denial of Palestinian rights. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has dedicated a lot of resources to this campaign, which is designed explicitly to improve Israel's image abroad to counter worldwide outrage over its massacres and war crimes. In 2015, more than 1,100 black activists, artists, scholars, students, and organizations, including Angela Davis and Cornel West, signed a black solidarity statement with Palestine declaring their commitment to working to, quote, ensure Palestinian liberation at the same time as we work towards our own, unquote. Palestinians are struggling today for their rights, just like those who struggled in the U.S. civil rights and South African anti-apartheid movements, and just like brown and black communities are doing so across the United States now. We urge you, speaking to the NFL players, we urge you to rethink your participation in this trip to Israel and the message it will send to your millions of fans who look up to you. The power athletes have in contributing to the fight for justice is evidenced in the legacy of the late Muhammad Ali, who himself was an advocate for Palestinian rights, unquote. Pro Bowl Seattle Seahawks linebacker Michael Bennett, who read that open letter, posted very recently in his Twitter account, you can go to @MosesBread72. He didn't just turn down the invitation to go in this junket to Israel. He very articulately explained his reasons. He said, dear world, I was scheduled to make a visit to Israel with fellow NFL players. I was excited to see this remarkable and historic part of the world with my own eyes. I was not aware until reading this article about the trip in the Times of Israel that my itinerary was being constructed by the Israeli government for the purposes of making me, in the words of a government official, an, quote, influencer and opinion former, unquote, who would then be, quote, an ambassador of goodwill, unquote. I will not be used in such a manner. When I do go to Israel, and I do plan to go, it will be to see not only Israel, but also the West Bank and Gaza, so I can see how the Palestinians who have called this land home for thousands of years live their lives. One of my heroes has always been Muhammad Ali. I know that Ali always stood strongly with the Palestinian people, visiting refugee camps, going to rallies, and always willing to be a, quote, voice for the voiceless, unquote. I want to be a voice for the voiceless, and I cannot do that by going on this kind of trip to Israel. I know this will anger some people and inspire others, but please know that I did this not for you, but to be in accord with my own values and my own conscience. Like the 1968 Olympian John Carlos always says, quote, there is no partial commitment to justice. You are either in or you're out, unquote. Well, I'm in. Sincerely, Michael Bennett is one of the top football players in the NFL, plays for the Seattle Seahawks. In a separate tweet, Bennett said simply, quote, I'm not going to Israel, unquote, above a photo of Martin Luther King. Again, his Twitter handle is MosesBread72, at MosesBread72. 3 years ago, Dwight Howard's Free Palestine tweet was banished as if it never happened. And today, Michael Bennett's voice and conviction is loud and clear. This could be a watershed moment, breaking the Palestinian taboo in American sports. I'll leave you with a final thought from a November 2011 Truth Out opinion piece by former Israeli soldier Ira Gluntz. It was titled, The Pro-Israel Lobby Courts African Americans. Quote, if the pro-Israel lobby can recruit even a small group of influential African Americans to enlist in their propaganda war, while recruiting a significant number of fundamentalists from the African American churches, the Jewish propagandists will be reinforced by members of an ethnic group which has unique standing in combating charges that Israel is an apartheid and racist state. These African Americans may not be believable to those well informed about Israel and Palestine, but for the average American, they could be convincing. Gaza Corner is always archived at the Gaza Corner Archive, that you can find the link at tangents.com. Also, the articles that I use to research the commentary. There's a song that's really perfect to play for tonight's Gaza Corner, and it's by a Arab woman singer who lives in Oakland, Naima Shaloub, formerly, I believe, from Lebanon. And this is a song that kind of talks about some of the things that we've been discussing here on Gaza Corner on 91.7.
With the 16th Street Church and Medgar Evers' memory. And Gaza turned gray from the ashes of apartheid. They don't care, they're killing children, 'cause they on the devil's side. They say they send troops so that they can save lives, while they fund the massacre of those that resist to survive. They hold the hand of murderers and feed him more weapons as children die before them, as they shout the last wishes. They say that this land is the leader of the free, but black is still segregated by the veil of criminality. When are things turning? 'Cause things don't seem to change. Gotta keep our fists raised, 'cause it's time to rearrange. when are things turning? 'Cause things don't seem to change. Gotta keep our office raised, 'cause it's time to reinvent. They applaud the bravery of Mandela's raised fist, but if he was still alive, he'd be on the terrorist watch list. Your words have no meaning when defense is genocide, guys, but the day is coming near when this mask will be your demise. When are things turning? 'Cause things don't seem to change. Gotta keep our office raised, 'cause it's time to rearrange. Oh, when are things turning? 'Cause they don't seem to change. From underneath the rubble, a child still survives, and so is the truth that slowly starts to rise.
Four women, four Negro women, each one has a different color. Jaune, noir, brun, correct? Brun? Je parle français un peu. So I hope you understand this. It is a picture of four different women, Negro women. Black, and my arms are long, my hair is like wool, and my back is strong. Inflicted again and again and again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Mon nom est Aunt Sarah. My mother late one night. Sophronia. Mon nom est Sophronia. Viens, Peter, viens. Invite your daddy, and my mouth is like wine. Whose little girl am I? Well, yours if you got some money to buy. I meet you in Cannes later. What do they call me? Call me sweet thing. They call me sweet thing. They call me sweet thing. But I'll say, I'll say,
my name is Peter.